Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it's almost spring.
Wow, I thought I was ahead of the curve.
Well, you know, it's been in the 70s all week, then it got cold for the weekend. What is that? What does that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's just it's all of a sudden we go from like summer to winter without anything in between, and it happens in months that it's not supposed to happen. I don't know what's going on, but it's like you can almost have all four seasons in 2 weeks instead of waiting all year. So
I think you can.
Yeah.
I think you can have all four seasons in a week or 2 week period, because it says every day it's going to be 70, 74. I can go for that, 70, 74.
Oh.
Then it says the weekend will be 56.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big drop.
That is a big drop. And it's not supposed to. I don't think it usually happens at this time of year, does it? From what
no,
I remember.
I don't remember it ever happening. But this is a strange year. This was the year that we had all the snow and ice and everything else. So, you know, it's just, it must be a sign of the times.
It must be. It's a little insane. I know we talk about the extreme weather sometimes, but it just seems like it's getting, I don't want to say worse, but it's getting quicker. Like the seasons change within 5 minutes now instead of, you know, like 3 months. I don't know what's going on.
It's I don't really either. Weird. Well, let me talk about gold while I've got it on my mind.
Oh, okay.
You know, we don't do gold. But every once in a while, somebody will say, well, we've done some gold. And I see it on television. And they tout it. And, you know, it's a good thing. And it's a good asset. But something I didn't know, and I'll bet nobody else knows it. There's a storage fee if you don't take it personally to your house. And then there is a 2 to 15% commission.
What? Really?
Yes. The commission can run from 2 to 15%. And I have this on good authority this week. A client told me this story. He wanted to sell his gold. It took 6 weeks for it to sell. Now, why would it take that long?
I don't know. That's a little weird. I didn't know that was a thing. Six weeks?
Yeah. He thought he could get it in 2 or 3 days, which
yeah.
I would have thought so, too.
Me, too.
And he said, I want to get my money back to Texas. And, Faye, I want you to take care of it. He said, I'm through with these people in New York City and everywhere. But I couldn't believe it. I didn't know that was the way it worked. And he was supposed to have a certain amount of money coming because he knew that it went up that much. But he's not getting near that much.
Really?
He's getting like, sounds like $60,000 less than what market value was.
Whoa. How is what's that about?
I don't know. He didn't know either. He couldn't figure it out, but he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
He said, you know, this is what it's supposed to be worth. This is what the market shows. But they're not going to give him what market shows.
Wow.
So I don't understand that. And then to take 6 weeks to get your money.
That's insane. I had no idea that it could ever possibly take that long.
I thought it was a couple of days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I thought. Because there's a market every day for gold and silver, just like there is other things.
Yeah. So what's the delay about? I don't know.
I don't know. Took him over a month to get his money.
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know there was that it took that long. I had no idea there was a fee, you know, like a holding fee. I didn't know that. Like a storage fee. I didn't.
Yeah, if they hold it for you, there's a storage fee.
Wow.
Imagine, it goes into a vault, I assume.
Wow. I mean, imagine if the bank did that. Here's a storage fee for having your cash in the bank. It would
yeah.
be an uprising.
No, they're just loaning your money out overnight.
Yeah.
They're not paying interest on that either.
No. No.
No, they're just doing that.
Wow.
And there was an article this week that if we ever had a crash, that the stock brokerage houses can actually borrow money, you know, against your stocks.
Really?
If we ever had a crash, yes. You need to read the fine print.
Ooh.
There was an article went this way. The stocks are usually not in your name. They're in street name. So if they're in street name, you don't control the stock. It's not in your name.
Oh, that's kind of jarring.
They said if we ever had a crash, they could actually come in and pledge your stocks for themselves. They could make a loan against your stock.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Because it's in their name. It's not in your name.
What?
I didn't know that all these years. I guess I forgot. I probably knew it, but I forgot.
I'd never even thought about it. That's not a question that I think probably most people would even think. It's like, is this stock in my name or not? So
it's
really,
a street name.
When it comes down to it, you have no
name,
claim.
It's in their name. So everybody probably should have that stock in their name, I think.
Yeah. Boy, that's like a splash of cold water on your face first thing in the morning.
Jeez. Yeah, and they say, well, it's where they can buy and sell it, you know, real quick.
Yeah, so they don't need
to
get your
all
approval.
They have to do is have you sign the back of it, you know,
and
they can do it.
Wow.
But I wonder how many people know that.
Yeah, I don't. I would guess
it's
probably.
It's all its street name, yeah.
Yeah. Yee. Mm. It's another reason.
So anyway, couple little tidbits I picked up this week.
Boy, oh boy. You know, and that doesn't happen with an annuity or a life settlement. You don't have to worry about that.
That's right. It has to be, you know, you sign the contract. It's you that's buying it.
Yeah.
If you do an annuity, it's in your name. And you can cash it out in about 12 days. It takes that long to get, you know, the claim form to the company and back. But they pay you instantly. They've got the money right there. They don't have it pledged somewhere. Mm. Your money's not pledged on anything.
Yeah, and you know, when you say 12 days, you know, it used to be impressive and nice, and now when you compare that to selling gold and it takes 6 weeks.
It takes 6 weeks to get your money.
Wow.
They should always ask these people, now, what is our agreement with you when I need to sell some gold? How much is the charge, and how soon will I get it?
Yeah. Boy,
and if it's over 6 weeks, then you should really worry.
Yeah.
But I think 6 weeks is a little too long.
Mm-hmm. It's way too long.
I think you should be able to get your money, you know, in a week's time.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take that long.
No. You would expect some kind of a grace period. It's like, okay, it takes a little bit of time to, you know, transfer some things and whatever. But to take 6 weeks, that's just, I mean, this is 2026.
They've got everything, instant. But that's what they told me.
Wow. That just shocks me. Ooh.
It did me too.
I did. And the sad thing is I would have never even thought to even ask about that. And that's.
I wouldn't have either. Because I just assumed that if you bought it in a 2-day or 3-day period, you could sell it in the same length of time.
Yeah.
I didn't know it would take 6 weeks for you to get your money.
I know you've never been a big fan of gold, but I guess this is now another reason to not be a big fan of gold. Because
it is going up, and that's a nice thing. But then when you need it, you've got to go back and pay somebody to sell it. And if you've got it in their storage, you've got to pay that all the time. So there's some things that are not quite as good about gold. The value of it is great. It's went up a lot. That's great. But if you need the money, it's not readily available. I didn't know that.
No, no. And that would frustrate me. You know, I know that, you know, like with a life settlement, say, the policy will mature, and especially new investors, they'll say, oh, gosh, you know, when are we going to get paid? Well, I mean, it takes a little bit of time to go through the channels and all that and end up in your account, but nowhere near 6 weeks. And so,
when you have a life settlement, it expires. First thing we do is we turn in the claim, and now we send off for the death certificate right away. And like we had another two come in this week. And there's only one person in that one policy. It was $100,000, so they made good money on it.
Wow. Neat.
Yeah, they had bought a $100,000 policy all by themselves. Yeah. There's not anybody in it.
Just one person.
You know, just one person. They've got the whole thing. And sometimes there's two or three people, and sometimes there's 20 or 30 people.
Yeah.
Depends how big it is. And let me bring up another subject. All these young guys that are young fathers 30 to 45 years old should have a life insurance policy. I don't care if you don't think you can afford it, you can. You know, you can buy one online for $30 or $50 a month. Not very much, but you need to protect your family because you don't want an accident to happen or something unexpected, and there your family is just hanging out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's not a good thing.
Yeah. Then they're often in worse shape. You know, you hear these stories all the time about how, you know, somebody didn't have this set up or they didn't have that set up, and nobody really thinks about it. And there's all these loose ends that could be sitting out there that, you know, because there's going to be bills that come in. You got to maintain the same income level to afford, you know, the lifestyle that you're used to living. And, you know, when something happens, you don't want these people to all of a sudden, well, gosh, now we have to sell the house and we have to do this and we have to, you know, get rid of that and we have to have a yard sale and all that stuff.
And they can also, through AAA, anybody, you can get a little accident insurance. They'll pay $300,000 or $400,000.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you have an accident or killed. So there's two or three options for a young family, and they should take those options. Be sure you have insurance. You don't want to leave a wife with two or three little children destitute.
Yeah.
You know, when that income stops and you're the only one working, that wife's going to have a terrible struggle.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to have a hard time making it.
Yeah, and that's on top of, you know, the grieving and everything else that they're going through emotionally. It's like,
yeah, they're going through all this other, and they don't want to have the house not paid for. You know, they need that house paid for if you die. So you need to carry some life insurance when you're a young father.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous not to do it.
Yeah. And do it while you're young, too, because, I mean, rates change a little bit as you get older, don't they? I would think.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah.
And until you're 50 or 60, you're okay on rates. But then, you know, it's going to get expensive. And you're not going to need it when you're 75 or 80. You may want to sell your policy then. But during those earning years when you're really young and got the little bitty children, you need life insurance.
Yeah.
And if somebody hadn't sold you, go online and get you some life insurance. It doesn't take but a few minutes, and there's hardly any questions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can buy $500,000 with life insurance for $30 or $50 a month. It's really cheap.
It is. It is really cheap. And then, you know, as you know, especially when somebody's young and, you know, they may not, you know, have everything together and they're not, you know, in the height of their career yet. As they get older, you know, they can always take on more, but at least you've got, you know, some kind of a basic foundation. You can expand it later, take out additional policies or whatever, you know, so somebody gets promoted or they, you know, in management or they get a new job or they buy a business and they're, you know, doing great or, you know, something, you know, as life improves, you know, you can always get more, but start with something, even if it's $300,000 or $400,000.
And protect your wife, you know, where she can stay home with the children and that she's not out here, you know, slinging hash, trying to make ends meet with two or three little kids.
Yeah, that's tough to do. It is really, really tough. And the financial burden on top of it is it just makes it sometimes, you know, to where it's like the final straw on the camel's back. It's just there's so much
right.
other stuff going
and
on.
And if you can afford it, insure the wife for a little bit. Because if something happens to her, you're really in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got little kids to raise, and you're going to be in a terrible shape. So you need to do that.
Yeah.
So that's for the young people. I want to recommend that for young people. Be sure you've got life insurance when you're young. A lot of people forget about it. And out here in Midland, it is dangerous on the freeways.
Yeah.
It's dangerous in Dallas on the freeways. There's people being killed, I hate to say that, every day.
There is.
And then you'd realize, well, what kind of shape were they in financially?
Yeah. I mean, you have to think about it because even if somebody is a responsible driver, not everybody else is. And you see all the time that, you know, innocent people, you know, who are very responsible, drive safe, do the right thing, very cautious, drive very defensively. Things can happen because of somebody else who's, you know, being reckless. And so it's not something you can plan for. It's not something you can say, hey, I'm a safe driver. I don't need it. Well, there's other people who are not, and so you might. So.
And remember, those big trucks, if they hit you, it's over.
Oh,
so you got to protect yourself. Look out. watch all this freeway driving, which is so dangerous, and take care of your family. It's really important to do it at a young age.
Yeah, it really is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And some people, and you know, as we talk about, you know, setting up your family to make sure that they're taken care of, you know, if something were to happen, there's other opportunities as well, like annuities. You know, people set up annuities for the kids, grandkids, college funds, all kinds of things, all the time.
My clients in Amarillo that had all that insurance on all their grandchildren, those policies have still got the basic amount. And the lady told me the other day that the one for her daughter has doubled.
Really?
It's doubled in the last few years. I don't know how many years they've had it. I guess 10 or 8, something like that. And the little kids were little at the time. She said with all the money they've taken out, it has still doubled.
Wow.
And they took money out for college, 4 or 5 years in a row. And she told me the other day it had doubled.
Jeez.
And I was impressed.
Yeah.
That after all the money they've taken out, paid for school, that it now has doubled.
Wow. You know, it's just like some accounts, like if you stick money in like a savings account or even a checking account, and then you write a check for college, the bank isn't going to, I mean, that money's gone. It's a one-way ticket. The money doesn't replenish. It doesn't double. It doesn't grow at the bank. But with an annuity, you know, you can still take it out. You can still use it for things, and it's still growing. It's not just hemorrhaging cash.
It's not sitting still.
Yeah.
And, you don't pay any tax till you take it out. It's all tax deferred. There's so many good things about an annuity. You know, if the stock market goes down, it doesn't. There's a stopgap on it. So, and it's got all the indexes. You've got a lot of choices. You can change it every year. If you like the way it's going, just leave it alone. And then every year you can take 10% out. You may not want to take 10. You might want to take 4 or 5, but you've got that option. You've got a lot of options with it.
Yeah. I like the fact also that it's not always etched in stone. You know, we talk about, you know, okay, we're going to set up an annuity. And sometimes I think people get in their brain that, oh, it's an annuity. That means that when I set it up on day one, that's how it is for the rest of time. But it's not. You can make changes. If you, say another grandkid comes into the picture somewhere down the road and you say, well, hey, let's switch this over to that one. Maybe you have a falling out with somebody in the family. You say, you know, I don't want them to get this anymore. You can make those changes.
Well, then let me tell you another thing. I have a couple that's been with me for years. He was county commissioner, and she was a CPA. They called me this week and said, Faye, we want to add one of our sons to our policy because if something happens to us, you know, somebody's going to have to take care of the annuities. Mm. So they're going to add their son. Like, she had her husband as a beneficiary, and he had her. So now they're going to add the son. In case those two die, the son will automatically get it. And they, like she said, he can take care of the estate and burying us and everything else. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't need anybody else on it to start with. But now they're getting an age. They're going over to the funeral home and plan their funeral this week.
Oh, no, I hate that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. It's because she's an accountant. That's the way your brain works.
Yeah.
She didn't want to leave anything to chance.
No, no. Boy, I have been on those trips before where people go and pick out all of the arrangements. They pick the songs. They pick everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's all done.
Yeah. I guess if you're really a business person like her, you would go to that where nobody has to do a thing. All they have to do is go to the funeral home. Yes, here it is. Laid it out.
Yeah. It sounds morbid. It really kind of, it made me sick to think about it. But
it is a little morbid for me.
And then I'm like, well, maybe that's a little bit more responsible because, you know, nobody has to second guess or fight or struggle. And most of it's paid for already. So I don't know. I guess there's pros and cons to both sides. It's just, boy, that's the first time I heard somebody doing that, I about threw up. I'm I'm like, no.
He said, what the heck?
Yeah, this is not real. Are you serious?
But let me tell you, you know, East Texas is different than the rest of the world.
It is.
I mean, they are different there. I know about a funeral that happened a few months ago. One of the girls didn't like where the mother was going. She escapes with the body and takes it to another funeral home.
What? Are you serious?
Only in East Texas could that happen.
Wow.
I mean, it wouldn't happen anywhere else in the world.
No.
But they're a little different there.
Ooh.
They're a little different, let me put it that way. If anybody's ever been to East Texas, they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
I couldn't believe it. Escaped with the body, took it to a different funeral home. Wow.
And took the body with them. I can't believe that.
They did a funeral this week, and they didn't even buy flowers.
What? Really?
The relatives were livid. They were livid. They said, why is there not any flowers? Well, they just didn't buy any.
Oh, wow.
Just didn't do it. And didn't tell anybody, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to need flowers. Up here at the front. That's how East Texas is. They're
wow.
a little bit backward.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're backward. They just don't get it, let me tell you.
I've never heard that. Ooh.
Yeah, crazy people.
All right, well... It is different, that's for sure. So, you know, it's like, you know, we talk about the planning, and then we kind of joke at the people that do all this planning, but it really is important. People have to not only plan for their own retirement, which is what we talk about all the time, but people do have to plan for other things that may happen to take care of family
for their
members.
Demise. For their demise.
Yeah.
Have it all in line. Have everything in a binder, like I talk about all the time. Have all the financial papers together. Don't have them spread all over where they can't find them. If you have a life insurance policy, have it where it's handy.
Mm-hmm.
If you have annuities, they need to know where the annuities are. If you have life settlements, they need to know that all that's at Nevada Trust.
Yeah.
So you don't have to tell them, but you have to put it in writing. Where would they find all this and know what to do? You don't have to tell them about your business.
Mm-mm. You don't want it
to be. A lot of people are very secretive. They don't want anyone to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a scavenger hunt either. You know, if you keep all this together. I remember we were just talking about this the other day. My wife's parents, when they would go away for like the weekend or a short trip, they would call them up and say, okay, we're leaving for a short trip. And if anything happens, everything is in an envelope on the kitchen table. It's all right there. And we were all like, don't say that.
See, that's the old fashioned, correct way.
Yeah.
You know, all they have to do is get the envelope and they'll say, everything is here, it's there, and there's not any problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are very secretive. They don't want to tell the family what they're worth. They don't want to tell them where the money is. They don't want to tell them how much money they've got. And that's okay. You don't have to tell them.
Yeah.
But for gosh sakes, leave it somewhere where if something happens, they can find it.
Yeah. Easily find it without having to dig through.
No, you don't have to do a search.
No.
You don't have to bring in the FBI to find it.
Yeah, that is not a good way to go. You'll make some enemies. Even if you're gone, you're still going to have some enemies left back here just for making it
hard. Oh, my gosh, you'd have quite a few. And then make it plain who is in charge.
Yes.
Who's in charge of your estate? And that's another thing I saw in East Texas. Nobody knew who was in charge of the estate. No one who was executor or anything.
Oh, my
That's
word.
That's just how it is down there.
Oh.
They're just different people.
Yeah, I bet that was a nightmare to sort that out.
I don't think it has been yet. Oh. I think it's still in limbo up in the sky somewhere.
Oh, my word. Wow.
That's what I think. Yeah. Well, now let's talk about what we're doing this week.
Let's do.
Because you always ask me. I've got two policies I'm bidding on. One is 15 months. It's a pancreatic cancer, which everybody loves. It's 15 months. Then we have a prostate cancer that's a return. They operated on it several years ago, thought they had it, and it has returned in full force.
Oh.
And they've given the guy 18 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The first time it didn't kill him, but it's fixing to the second time because it has spread a lot.
Yeah. The second time is always the worst, isn't it?
Let me tell you something. The second time it gets you.
Ugh.
The first time, if you think you've survived it and it comes back, it will get you that second time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're bidding, did you, all, you're, wait, you're in the bidding process now, right?
We're in the bidding on both of them. We don't know if we'll get them, but there's a lot of profit in it if we get it the way it's going. But we may not. We may have to, you know, up the bids. So I know one of them, if we got it as it stands, it'd be at least 40% profit.
Oh, my word. Really?
Oh, yeah. So I don't know if we'll get it like that. It may come down a lot. But both of them are good policies. They're very, very short. It'll be a perfect thing for someone. Everybody should jump on these if we get them.
Yeah. When will the window close? Is it
probably a week? It'll probably be another week.
Oh, okay. All right.
So because all the bids are not in.
Okay. I know we talk about the bidding process, and it's just sometimes I never know. It's like, is this one, are we close or, you know, still a week away?
Sometimes we have somebody comes to us and said, we need the money desperately. We need a quick deal. And so we'll bid it and try to do it. If they accept our bid, we go to closing right then. But sometimes it's somebody that says that, and then they want too much for the policy, and nobody goes in it.
Wow.
Then everybody just says, let them keep it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need the money bad enough to do anything about it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people play those games sometimes. You know, it's just, you know, if you need it, you need it, you know, get it done. And sometimes I wonder if they're just playing some kind of game or something just to see, or, I don't know, play hardball maybe.
One of these policies, the guy had $8 million in policies.
Whoa.
He had four dadgum policies. He's that wealthy.
Really?
Yeah, four.
Why? And you okay?
And we're only bidding on two.
Okay. All right. So you're bidding on two of the four.
Two of the four.
Wow, that's incredible.
And of course, everybody loves pancreatic cancer. We've done so many of those, but it's so hard to get them. We haven't had one in a long time, as you know. Every time we get one, we almost oversubscribe it because people love it. They know it's incurable, so you know they go in those immediately.
Yeah, I know those are always quick to fill. It's just, and a lot of times those particular ones are way sooner than what's expected, and which makes them even more attractive. And so, you know, I wonder. It's just like, is knowing how those particular ones end up, can you bid a little bit more aggressively? Or
we have to on those because everybody's going to want it. All the big companies are going to be bidding on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they will all be bidding. They all want pancreatic cancer because we don't ever get one. I mean, we haven't had one in a long time, probably a year. And so everybody will be bidding it. All the big companies are going to get involved. And so it'll be a bidding war. So I don't know what the final profit on it will be or if we're going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good luck on that one, because I know those are some of the big ones. That
they're the best.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
the guy's 51 years old.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, these are young guys.
Ooh, I wasn't expecting that. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, so we'll know.
So we don't know what'll happen.
Probably but by next week?
Yeah, by the end of the week, we'll know whether we're going to get it or somebody else outbid us.
Okay.
And sometimes on pancreatic cancer, that profit's going to come way down because everybody's bidding it so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to go up a little bit sometimes. But, you know, even still, you know, it's almost like I tell people all the time, you know, it's one thing to know the rules and then you know when to break them. You know, if you've been doing something long enough, you know when it's like, okay, normally we wouldn't go up on this, but considering what it is and the dynamic of it and the historical data on these things, this is one that, you know, we do want to go maybe in some cases a little bit higher on just to ensure we get it because, you know, they are such historically good ones. So
they are. And they have good profit. They always come in early. They never go as far. But they're saying 15 months. So we don't know if it'll go 15 or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Historically speaking,
usually,
it may not.
Usually, most of ours come in less than a year.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see.
All right. Well, I'm looking then forward to an update next weekend and see what happens with that.
That's right.
Okay, so wait, you're bidding on two policies? Is that are those
the two?
We're
bidding on two. The other one is the prostrate that has come back.
Okay.
So I think it'll be a good policy. The first go around, you know, they gave him all the chemo, did the operation, did everything. They thought they had it all. And then gradually the prostrate started rising.
Mm.
And now it's way up there, and it's in some other places too.
Oh, geez.
So it is a metastasized prostrate now.
Oh, boy. All right. Well,
so
we should...
if you looked at it to start with, it wouldn't have been this good, but now it is.
Yeah. And we'll know about that one maybe next weekend too?
I'm hoping that we'll know about it in a week too.
Okay.
I'm not real sure, but I'm sure I'm hoping.
All right. Well, then good. We'll you know, get some good updates hopefully next weekend. Awesome.
Yes.
What about annuities? Are I assume the 16% bonus is still in place.
The bonus is still there. The little fixed rate, you know, we have this little policies, the 3-year, 5-year, and 7. That's went back down a little bit.
Mm. Okay.
You know, they were over 5%, and they went back down to 4.75.
Okay.
So they're like a little CD, you know. You can get one for 3 years, 5 years, or 7. And that's for the people that really do believe in CDs because it usually pays more than the bank.
Yeah. Well, anything pays more than the bank.
I know. Usually it does. Even the Nevada Trust is paying 3%.
Yeah.
They were at 4, but it's a little bit less right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
but
still.
They pay interest on every account, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I know we talk about, you know, different ways to make money and different layers of making money. And it's, you know, it's one thing to have, you know, your investments, you know, your life settlements and then your annuities and then the bonuses on the annuities. And then but just it's almost like just a little bit of icing on the cake to know that, you know, anything that's just sitting in Nevada Trust is still making money. And so
that's right.
You know, you can't get that at the regular bank. And so you can't
that's
not
right.
We don't want to encourage people not to invest because, you know, you still don't want to try to live off 3%. But still, it's a little bit of a little extra icing.
Because look, if you're just sitting there with your money in cash, you might as well be getting paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like a regular checking account in the bank. We don't get a dime for that.
Mm-mm. So,
unless it's a money market account, you know, they're not paying anything for your money.
Yeah. I mean, the banks never called me up and said, congratulations, you made this much. It's never happened.
That's not going to happen, I don't think.
No, I don't
think it is. In my lifetime, it probably won't.
No, I don't think we'll ever see that. But still, it's still another layer of money. And, you know, like the bonuses we're talking about with annuities, those are just money on top of whatever you make. So that's another, I mean, it's called a bonus for obvious reasons, but it's more money on top of what your actual investment made. And so, I don't know, it's
and
just...
You know, a life company called me this week, wanted me to represent them, and they had this huge bonus.
Really?
And I said, well, I'm not familiar with that company.
Hmm.
And I went and looked it up, and they're owned by the Chinese. And I just did it. I said, oh, my gosh, they're trying to sell me on something that is owned by the Chinese. No wonder they were offering that huge bonus.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even an American company. Oh, my gosh.
That's even worse than if they were in New Jersey.
It's worse than New Jersey when you find out the company's owned by the Chinese.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's too good to be true, it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk all the time about how, you know, the companies that you deal with, you know, are in Texas. And that's a big deal, especially when you get a call like that and it's overseas. It's not even close. It's not even Arkansas.
Well, and, you know, when it's owned by Texans, you know, we're right here. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we've been in business 24 years.
Yeah.
And a client told me this week, I want my money to come back to Texas. I want a Texan holding it.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah.
You don't want it in New Jersey or New York City. You know, you want it right here where if you need something, you call over the office and we talk to you on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, this week, every time I tried to call anybody, it was press 1. Oh, yeah, leave word. We're going to call you back, but we're not going to talk to you. You know, we'll send you a text message, but don't bother on the phone.
Yeah.
Just leave a message.
Leave a message. Somebody may or may not get it and may or may not call you back. May or may not be for another month.
It took me 3 days to get the call back.
Oh.
3 days.
Oh, no. Really? Three days?
They said, we're very busy.
Yeah. Clearly. Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Terrible.
Three days.
What has happened to customer service? And that's another thing.
There is none.
For people who have not ever invested with you, people can call you and they don't have to press, you know, 1 and 3 and 12 and and 50 and then sit and listen to some music for 20 minutes and then it might connect. You're actually there. You're an actual person and you can actually talk to
real
people. I'm a real
person and I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to call them back as quick as possible.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's another beautiful thing. You got people all the time that will call you. It's just, you know, ask a question. Hey, what about this? Or can we do that? Or, you know, tell me about this. Or, yeah, I mean, it's
or change
just
my beneficiaries.
Yeah.
I had that happen, you know, this week. They said, you know, I need to change beneficiaries. And I looked at the beneficiary change pages, 6 pages long.
Oh, my word. Really?
I mean, they want to be sure about you when they change that for you.
Wow. 6 pages. That's pretty thorough.
It was very dadgum thorough. It asked you so many questions. Why you want to change? You know, who is it? Give us their social. Give us their birthday, their address. They have to know everything about that person.
Wow. Well, at least they don't just, you know, they're not. You have to have all the information. And it's not just saying, you know, hey, some random person called and said, hey, I want to change it to my neighbor. What's their name? Bob Jones, what do you know about him? Nothing. Okay. You know, I mean, it's extensive, which is, I think, good, you know, because, you know, we talk about security, you know, from time to time. It's like it's another layer of just making sure that this is actually what you want. And this is actually the person, you know.
It's actually you doing it.
Yeah.
You know, they want to know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like at Nevada Trust, they're the most cautious people in the world.
Yeah. Anybody that makes a move, you know, they're going to call you and on the phone and say, hey, are you sure you want to do this? Is this really you? Just to make sure that, you know, they're not being schemed and scammed and somebody tried to, you know, take money or, you know, anything like that. They're making sure, which is another layer of, I think, comfort for, you know, really new investors, but people who've been with you for a while, you know, just knowing that there's an actual person with human eyes that double check and pick up the phone and call you just to make sure. So there's no, you know,
no hanky panky,
yeah,
as we always say.
No hanky panky. There's so many things, and you've told so many stories in the past about fraud, and you see it on the news and you hear about it, you know, all over the place. And it's just like, you know, a lot of times these fraud things happen because these systems are not in place. And knowing that there's so many systems in place and there's actual human people involved makes a really, really big difference. And so
lots of times somebody will try to take money out of your account and they've changed the wording just a little bit,
Yeah. Just
a little bit. And you have to be sure that's from us. Mm-hmm. Make sure that email is really from me or Flint or Claudia.
Yeah.
We had 5 people that got something, and they thought it was from us, and it wasn't. And we had to send them all emails that don't touch it, don't touch it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not from us.
People can get real crafty sometimes.
They're very crafty. People lose millions of dollars out of their bank accounts this last year, millions.
Ugh, I know it.
I don't know if the banks are going to make it good or not.
And that's the thing.
I wondered.
You know, even if they take some, to say a chunk of money, and then, you know, it's just like, will you get it all back? Or then if the answer is no, it's like, well, can I at least get some of it back? Or, you know, is there anything we can
sell? But if it's unauthorized, the bank should stand good for it.
They should. So it's nice to know that you've got a ton of security levels in place, too, because we're talking about people's money. We're talking about people's retirement, you know, in some cases.
Well, we had to add all this in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
We've added 3 layers.
Mm-hmm. It's just,
and you just pray that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's three layers more than you had, you know, a couple months ago. And then I know at one point you'd added some things, you know, a while back that was more than it was before. So as we keep going through time, you keep adding more and more layers as, you know, as you hear about different things and there's different, you know, scams that are out there, you keep adding more and more layers of protection. So it's not like you just set it and forget it. You're actively involved with continuing to keep up with, you know, the latest things and preventing, you know, the stuff from happening to people. So that's really cool as well. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, it's a really interesting story. It's the story of Fred Koch. Now, I don't know if you know who he was.
I don't know.
He was born September 23rd, 1900. He lived till 1967. He was a chemical engineer. He founded an oil refinery firm that later became Koch Industries. Koch Industries is the second largest private company in the United States.
Really?
He was born in Quanta, Texas.
Mm. Of course he was.
Harry Koch, his father was a Dutch immigrant. Harry was working as a printer's apprentice in the Netherlands. He worked a year learning how to do this in The Hague and in Germany. He came to the U.S. in 1888.
Wow.
Came to Quanta, Texas. He bought the Tribune Chief newspaper. Now, Fred attended Rice Institute from 1917 to 1919. He graduated from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is MIT, in 1922. He had a degree in chemical engineering. It's a most interesting story. He started his career with the Texas company in Port Arthur. Later became chief engineer for the Medway Oil and Company on the Isle of Grain in Kent, England.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. In 1925, he joined MIT classmate Keith Winkler, an engineering company in Wichita, Kansas. In 1927, he developed an efficient thermal cracking process for deriving gasoline from crude oil. And it let all the little companies do this. He was sued 44 times. 44 times.
Wow.
He won all but one.
Oh, really?
And the other one was overturned because the judge was bribed.
Oh, of course. Wow.
Now, he formed a deal with Lewis Winkler, a former employee, and they developed this cracking apparatus for heavy crude oil with no patents because they didn't need them. So where do you think he went? In 1929, he went to not Germany, but Russia. And this is when the patent case was on trial. He couldn't get a job here. He couldn't get anything done. So he went over there and started selling the technology to the Soviet Union. So between 1929 and 32, he supported the Kremlin and trained Bolshevik engineers in Stalin's regime. He set up 15 modern oil refineries in the Soviet Union in a five-year period.
Oh, wow.
Now, Stalin was brutal. He purged several of Koch's Soviet colleagues. He was deeply affected by this, and then he realized what he'd done, helping all these people over there in Russia, and he regretted it. But it was a little late. Everybody knew he was in Russia selling all this to the Russians, and, you know, it didn't make him popular. So there was a lot of controversy. And then in 1934, he partnered with William Rhodes Davis, and he built the Hamburg oil refinery. It's the third largest oil refinery in the Third Reich.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He did a lot of stuff over there that, you know, later he wished he hadn't. And they acknowledged that Winkler Koch had, in 1934, had built the Hamburg refinery, but said it was just one of many. that American companies were doing. And they said, after all, he did some in England and France, but they were looking at the ones in the Soviet Union that he did. I mean, he couldn't work over here. He had those 40 lawsuits, you know? So he made a fortune. He joined New Partners in 1940 to create the Wood River Oil and Refining Company. It later became Koch Industries. So this guy was very, very smart. His two sons, we used to hear about him a lot because they were giving all this money to political partners. Now, how much do you think this company makes per year?
Oh, I don't even dare guess. It's going to be ridiculous, and I have no idea.
$125 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Billion. $125 billion a year.
Wow.
I mean, he made all this money mostly in the Soviet Union, which he was not popular at all over here for doing that. And then he founded the Birch Society. He's the one that founded that.
Wow.
Yeah, and his two sons, of course, were very popular because they had all these billions of dollars, so they gave a lot to political causes. So I thought it was really interesting that an American would go over there to the Kremlin and start helping them out with their oil refineries because he had 40 lawsuits.
Yeah, I mean, talk about running from the law.
He was running from the law, and with 40 lawsuits, he couldn't operate in the United States.
Yeah.
Nobody would hire him because of the lawsuits. And they all wanted to stop that patent that he had for fracking. And so he did it all over there. So the time he came back, the lawsuits were all gone, except the one where the judge had been bribed, and they threw that one out.
Oh, good. They threw it out? Good.
They threw it out because the judge was bribed. Oh, my gosh.
He won them all,
but
though.
He had four sons, and the two sons ran the company and still running it. And I think one of them died recently. They're getting pretty old. Because look what years he was going.
I know. You're talking about
what year he was born.
1888. And it's just like, yeah. I mean, even his kids, his grandkids are you know, probably getting up there too. You know?
Yeah, I think the whole family's getting pretty old. I don't know who gets it when they all die. But it's an amazing thing, you know. And, of course, he had heart problems. In 2010, they received word his dad had died. And he was shooting a well, and a bird came over, and he took the shot and hit it again. The duck fell, and he turned it up and said, and then they killed over dead. He said that was a magnificent shot, and he killed over dead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he died the way they lived, you know?
Yeah, clearly. Oh, my word. I just, you know, going over, having 44 lawsuits, I mean, okay, you got to do something. Something's got to break.
I mean, he did.
But I didn't.
And the first thing he did when he came back was in Wichita, Kansas, but he also bought a company in Oklahoma. So we really started back over here in Oklahoma and Kansas. And I used to know a lawyer that represented him in Hugerton, Kansas.
Really?
He had a lot of oil things in Hugerton.
Wow.
But can you imagine? A petroleum engineer, and he was 67 when he died.
Oh, that's young. I would have not thought.
He was. Wow. He was born in 1900.
Hmm. Jeez. Yeah, I would have thought, you know, he'd be like 95 and still.
Oh, no. He was young.
Wow.
Nice looking guy. And, of course, he got a degree from Rice University and MIT.
Yeah.
So you know how smart he was. You don't go to Rice unless you're really smart.
I know. Those are the kind of smart people that don't know how to tie their shoes, but they can do equations.
That's right. They can do equations. They can do things you and I wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
And you know he was really brilliant when 40 companies tried to keep him from getting his patent.
I know it.
Patent infringement, they said.
Whoa.
So in Russia, they don't care.
No.
They didn't care if you had a patent on it or not.
So he went over there and made a fortune and came back.
Made a fortune in England and the Soviet Union. No telling what they paid him.
Yeah.
So then he came back and bought things in Oklahoma and Kansas, and it turned into Koch Industries. Wow. It is the second largest nonprofit profit company that's not public in the United States.
Yeah. And for to have an independent company like that, I mean, that's and that big, I mean, that's come on, that goes in the record books. That's a big deal.
It's got to. I don't even know how much $125 billion would be per year. I mean, you couldn't even stack it high enough.
No, I want to do the math, but it might hurt my brain.
It would hurt both of our brains if we figured that out.
Yeah. $125
I'd need someone
billion.
From MIT to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have to be, let's see, a billion a year. You'd be 125 if you did it from age one. So we'll just classify it as though it was a lot per year.
It was a lot of money. And the two brothers had penthouses in a city in New York City. They weren't out here in the oil field. They became so rich, they were living in New York City.
Now, there is okay, so when you first said the name Koch, I was thinking Ed Koch, and I'm thinking,
oh, okay.
Who is Ed Koch? And now that you say it, wasn't he like the mayor of New York? Or
yes, he was for many years.
All right. And then these people went to New York, and I was trying to put all the pieces together, but I don't think they're related. It's a totally different thing. So
yeah, it's spelled different, too.
Yeah.
But can you imagine his dad came from the Netherlands? Studied printing, came up here and bought a printing company, and they lived in Quanah.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Quanah,
small
Texas.
Town boy, and I can't imagine how wealthy they had to have been to go to Rice and the MIT.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not only do you have to be smart, but you have to be able to afford it and fund it. I mean, that's not cheap.
That's right. Neither one is cheap. They're both very expensive.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine how his father could afford Rice or MIT, unless he might have had a scholarship, but I don't know if back in the 1900s if they had scholarships.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if they did. I really don't know. Interesting. I mean, to be that smart, I can't imagine being that smart either. I just...
You can't imagine patenting something like that made you famous and worldwide.
No. I mean, it's just something you think up in your brain, and then all of a sudden you're fleeing to countries, and 40-something, people want to stop you, and it's just, I mean,
and
how
most people would have given up. They'd said, I've got all these lawsuits. What in the heck can I do?
Yeah.
And he just left the country and picked the Soviet Union of all places. And he said later he really regretted it because the controversy it caused by him going over there and doing that work for the Kremlin.
I'm in some ways I'm a little bit surprised, and in other ways I'm a little bit in awe the fact that he could go ahead do all that for the Kremlin and then come back and I'm sure he wasn't very popular, but still to be able to build up to the second biggest independent
company in the United States.
It's something. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. Now you probably get blackballed, and you'd never work a day in your life ever again. But back then, that's a pretty big deal to be able to accomplish that feat after what he had done before.
And probably he was so wealthy time he came back, because he'd done all this in the Soviet Union and England and all these places. I think he had millions and millions time he came back and bought things out here in Oklahoma and Kansas, and then it became Koch Industries.
Yeah. Well, people who are that smart from a little tiny town really kind of fascinates
me. That's right, from Quanah, Texas. I mean, those people all say, well, we knew him in school. We knew him in high school. His dad owned the newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty cool to be able to say that
you knew
him.
It would be cool.
Yeah.
And after he made it, I mean, these people were still following his progress.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure probably after he made it, a lot of them were all of a sudden his best friend from
That's
years
right.
ago.
Reckon he ever went back to Quanah?
I don't think so. I'm going to say no.
You'd say he was too wealthy by then.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody would want something from him.
Wow.
You stay away. Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm just sitting here thinking, leave the money out of it for a second. I'm just in awe of people who are able to do things like that. Just without really any kind of, I mean, you just go and do it. It's just,
he was brilliant to develop this. He's a brilliant man to say, I know what those oil wells need.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to frack it where you can get the gasoline out of the oil.
Yeah.
And he patented it, and nobody wanted him to have it. They all said, no, we got to sue this guy. We got to do this. And he said, well, I can't make a living in the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, with all these lawsuits, it was prohibiting from even making a living.
Yeah. I mean, nobody would even touch him with a 10-foot pole. So you got to do what you got to do. So.
And how many people would have said, we're going to the Soviet Union?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That was a heck of a risk.
Yeah, it was. Woo. Talk about
it. They had people disappearing. You know, some of his colleagues disappeared. So it was scary. I know it was.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Before we wrap up, there's two risks that people need to know about with the life settlement. We talk about these, and I know we say it all the time.
The first risk is if it goes over. So you need to know in advance how much the premium call will be, or if there's any, but you need to know. And we try to keep it below 2%. There's been a few times that we've went over, but we don't like to anymore at all. I like for it to be less than 1%,
okay.
Unless it's just, you know, the best policy in the world and just got a few months. But that is the biggest risk. The second risk is, remember, it's not liquid until it matures.
All right. See, now, those risks don't seem half as bad as having to go to, like, the Kremlin. See, so
it's not that bad. No, but it's not a big risk.
It's all relative.
And then, of course, you've got to be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay.
You can count all your other assets but the house.
All right. And annuities don't have quite the same kind of...
No, they don't. You have to have a savings account. You have to have a checking account. You have to have enough money to pay your household expenses and have money left over every month. And other than that, it's not hard to do.
All right. So for anybody that wants to get started or if they want some more information, they do need to call, set up an appointment, and you'll be happy to talk to anybody at any time. One last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Has a lot of great things on it.